I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
If money affects your life in any way, Money Making Sense will talk about it. Be financially healthy, wealthy, and wise. Here's your host, Heather Kelly.
Tim Hughes and Amanda Dixon during this tax season. Happy to spend a few minutes with Susan Spears, who is the CEO of the Utah Association of CPAs. It's always good to see you.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Hello, Susan.
Even though that indicates it's tax season when you come around. Not everybody's favorite time of year, right?
I know. But it's something we got to do.
Absolutely. And if you're going to do it, you might as well do it right and hire a CPA. So let's start there.
Okay.
So why do we hire a CPA and not try and do it ourselves or go through some other person?
You know, number one, to save yourself some time and a lot of grief and headache. We are constantly trained as CPAs. This stuff, all year long, we keep up on what's going through on the regs, not only on the federal side, but the state side. And we understand the little quirks. There's a lot of little nuances. There's twists and turns to every regulation, if you will.
Well, and they keep moving the target, don't they? I mean, every year there's something new to learn, and I guess that's the real difference between a CPA and just a regular tax preparer.
Right. I would agree with that. And as CPAs, we have the ability to be able to take what's going on in your tax life, if you will, or your financial world right now, and be able to help you prorate a year or two down the road. We can help you with scenarios. If I do X, what's going to happen? If I do Y, what's going to happen? So it's not just a one and done every year.
I can't even imagine how much money my CPA has saved me over the years. Because I was not even asking the right questions, Susan, before I met. And he's helped me throughout the year, not just at tax season. I met him at tax season.
Right.
But he's helped me throughout the year make better decisions and just be smarter with my life. So I encourage people who are facing this time of year to think to themselves, you don't know what you don't know. And if you're not a tax person, you probably don't know a lot.
Well, I think that's true. And that's the other thing. Using a CPA, we work year-round, as opposed to some of our big-box stores that might only be open for 3 or 4 months, then they close down. We're here year-round for you. Something comes up, give us a jingle. We can say, okay, Amanda, Tim, this is what you might want to be thinking about. Things happen in our lives. Life events happen. And sometimes unexpected and sometimes expected. We're adding family members or death in the family and we have estate issues or we decide to open up a new business. There are a lot of things that a CPA can just help you traverse down so that you're ahead of the game.
It used to be that if you were going to itemize, you really thought about a CPA as opposed to doing a short form or something. Less and less people are itemizing because of the way they've changed the tax system.
Right. With the Tax Cut and Jobs Act that was passed a couple of years ago, that itemized deduction going up to 24-4 for married filing joined or 12,002 for our single filers, that really cuts a lot of people out of that itemizing. That being said, maybe we think about bundling our itemized deductions.
First of all, how do you know if you're a person who stops itemizing?
That's a good question. You need to be able to, the three main taxes, withholding taxes, property taxes on your home. Of course, there's a $10,000 ceiling on that with the tax cuts. Mortgage interest is still deductible. Little change in that if you mortgage interest up to $750,000 on your first mortgage. That's a little bit of a change. Most of that doesn't apply to us. And charitable contributions are still. Those three biggies could be your little benchmark. And if you're over that threshold, then yes, you cannot itemize. Now, we're seeing a lot of people bundle, especially because we have flexibility with charitable deductions. So maybe they don't do all their charitable deductions 1 year and bundle them into the next year. do 2 years.
So they can get over that threshold.
Oh. Well, yeah. Well, and here's what my CPA did. He ran our taxes both ways. He said, if you continue to itemize, here's how it comes out. However, if we do it this other way, so that we could compare.
Right.
And then look, if you anticipate that your income is going to change either up or down the following year, whether you plan on just staying on that track or not. I mean, those are the real differences a CPA can make. Mm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're easy to have that conversation with. CPAs, we keep your information private. We try to ask those questions, like Amanda just said. We know the tough questions that need to be asked, and we're not afraid to ask you, because sometimes our clients are afraid to ask us, but we've seen this stuff over and over. And so we want to be able to put you not only in the best tax situation, but the best financial situation. Mm. We want to see our clients become financially independent.
So a person is listening and they think, okay, it's time that I have a CPA. They have no idea how to go about picking a CPA. If they don't know a person to ask for a referral, where do they go?
I would say let's go to the uacpa.org website. There's a tab on there, find a CPA. You can find it by your zip code or by, let's say you're in the construction industry, you could type in construction. So there's a variety of ways, and if you still can't find the person you think, certainly contact our office and we'll help you.
UACPA.org.
Correct.
Okay.
My family, my wife and I went through a nightmare scenario about 10 years ago. Seems like yesterday. But it all started because a real estate investment we had made got reported on the wrong line of the form. And it automatically kicked it out of the system, brought it to the attention of the IRS, and here comes the audit, and it was literally the worst year of my life.
Oh,
now, I remember that, Sam.
Having a CPA doesn't necessarily guarantee you're not going to get audited. However, small mistakes like that can keep you out of that pool.
Right, and we do know where to report things on which line, if you will. But we also know, you know, we do deal with the IRS, and we take care of that for you. Often a CPA, if you're to say, hey, I'm being audited, we'll take care of the audit for you. Oftentimes, if you don't want to, you don't even have to come to the conferences.
Yeah.
See, that alone. Just knowing that I have somebody in my corner who's handling that.
Well, look, I sat through this with not just the auditor, but his boss, his supervisor came in. We were sitting in my CPA's office, and I know I would have answered questions. When they asked for documentation of something, no matter how far back it was, I'd say, sure, here it is. My CPA said, well, now, wait a minute. According to statute, you can do this, you can't do that. According to statute, he doesn't need to provide you with this. He only needs to provide you with that. It saved us so much hassle. I can't even imagine what it would have been like if I'd try to do it by myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, it goes back to that training that we constantly have. And we understand the statutes, and we understand what's appropriate and what's not appropriate, because oftentimes you might go into an audit situation, and maybe an IRS agent not only wants to talk to you about that real estate transaction, but maybe they want to see what else they can find. We don't know that, but we try to keep them on task.
Susan, let me tell you, this was 2010. Ooh. They were asking for a $5 parking receipt from 2007. I kid you not. That's not an exaggeration.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. That's how detailed it got. And we luckily had kept receipts and did all of those things. But again, it was having that trained professional sitting in the room next to us going, you know what? If you want to go that direction, we'll just go right to an appeal and we'll, you know, figure this out later. If you want to help us here in figuring this out, then we'll take this other course. And it, I'm sure, saved us thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Thousands of dollars and fewer headaches.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit, Susan, about this tax bill in Utah? You got the smile when I ask it. Okay, so they pass it in special session, and now it's been repealed right off the bat, the beginning of the new. Talk to me a little bit about this legislation and where we are now, and what CPAs, what part they played in all of this?
For us, it was very interesting going through this tax reform. It was the experience of a lifetime. I mean, we saw the first bill that passed last year, HB 441, that pretty much got kicked out right at the end of session, not enough public support. Task force was formed, and during the year, the Tax Restructuring Task Force did several town hall meetings around the state, if you will, to get feedback from the people, from which this SB 1001 was centered around more hearings in September, October, November, and December, and then this special session. It was passed. The people weren't happy with it, the Utah citizenry, and there was a referendum that went through. And the big hubbub, as we've all heard, was basically over the tax on food and how it's going to hurt those of us in the state who are a little less fortunate, if you will. The referendum passed. I think that everyone was surprised, but there was so much passion around this. And from our standpoint, from my own personal standpoint, I went to most of those town hall meetings around the state during the summer. And as we listened, we thought, you've got to listen to the Utah citizenry. And this was a constant topic that came up over and over. There were two messages that I heard. Well, three. Tax on food, education, and you're moving this too fast. And I think that had we maybe gone a little slower, taken what we learned when the last tax reform was done back in the 2007 Governor Huntsman era, I think that maybe we would be in a little better shape than we are now as far as tax reform. Now, our understanding is that there will be no tax reform bills during this legislative session.
None? So it's just off the table? It's just gone now?
That's what our legislators are saying. They're saying no tax reform. We need to be focusing on roads. We need to be focusing on infrastructure. We need to be focusing on air quality. We need to be focusing on suicide.
How do you do that without a tax bill? I don't know. That's where the money comes for all those things,
well,
right?
I guess you have a budget bill, but you don't change taxes.
Exactly. And Utah, we have such an interesting budget structure anyway, where 100% of our income tax goes straight to education. So for me, it's been interesting to be up on the Hill in just this short week, and we're seeing how can we be able to pull some money out of the education fund to meet some of these other needs? Can we somehow frame it as being education? So for me, it's kind of interesting because now we're hearing our legislators talking about, well, now we're going to have budget shortfalls because we're not pulling in enough from the general fund,
yeah,
which is made up from sales tax.
And it's the state constitution, so it's not so easy just to do that. You know, you have to go through all kinds of hoops,
right,
constitutionally for the state to pull,
yeah,
in.
If they do it piecemeal, will they have a better chance? Is it because they tried to do this big omnibus thing that they got into trouble?
As I look at it, I will say I think that there's some good policy in the bill that was just repealed. However, I think that the biggest challenge was that the Utah citizenry didn't feel like their voice was heard, especially on the sales tax issue. And I think that we didn't educate from a legislative standpoint. Our people needed some education and some time to be able to digest this. If we go back to what happened under Governor Huntsman's time, one thing that I admired about that process was as they took the proposed bill out on the road and again had town hall meetings with the constituents, with our citizenry around the state, and there was an education process. I think that I can't help but wonder what would happen if we did the same thing here. I think also that we need to have a conversation around our income tax and what is education, and is it holding us back having that earmark, that 100% earmark? Is that causing us some challenge from a legislative standpoint in balancing the budget? Because constitutionally, we have to balance our budget as well.
Yeah, but you know how politically sensitive that is.
Oh,
anytime,
yeah,
you start to talk about, whoa, you're going to touch the money that was going to education, hang on here. It becomes a whole extra day, week, month, year, whatever on Capitol Hill.
Yeah. You're right. But if we're at this impasse where we see in the state of Utah, we keep hearing over and over how we spend is different. We've become a service-based state, so we're not bringing in the sales tax from goods, if you will. It's all from services, and we're bringing much more money in income tax ways. Perhaps the time is right before things get too drastically bad that we have that conversation. Wouldn't we do that in our own personal families or,
sure,
our businesses?
So is the future then a tax on services and maybe not a tax on food?
I don't know. This bill, we had both the bill that was just repealed, we had tax on some services. Mm-hmm. I mean, we saw shared services being taxed, and we had tax on food. Now, we had some credits that were also given. I do like that there was some good thought put into those that really are on those fringes are struggling, there was an earned income tax credit and a grocery credit that was put into place.
I think people struggled with that.
And I think people struggled. Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
Because when you're hungry, you know, you're hungry right now.
When you're hungry, you're hungry. When you have children that are hungry, and you look at the statistics we have in our state, 1 in 8 goes to bed hungry at night. That's a tough one, especially for me as a mother and a grandmother to handle.
You know, this whole conversation just brings it back around to why we need a CPA, because you take the time to understand what's going on with the taxes, not just with the federal taxes, but certainly here at home. Amanda and I kind of have to stay up to speed at a certain level of all of these things, but you guys, people are busy these days. They don't have the time to dive into all of this, and then they make mistakes, and then it comes back to bite them.
It's tough. Yeah. It's tough.
When I think about a CPA, I think about taxes, but there's so much more you can do for a person than just help them with their taxes. Share a little bit about what that looks like.
You know, I think we always think taxes, but what about financing or growing a business? I know when I was in public practice before I came into this role, that was my favorite thing. I loved to grow businesses from the ground up. And we can help you with those tools so that maybe you're not stumbling like we do. We can grow business. We can help with your estate planning. You know, we often work with the attorneys from an estate planning standpoint. Financial planning, we work with our brokers and whatnot. We act as a financial hub. I mean, there are financial statements that need to be issued. We work with many. All our corporations in the state have CPAs.
And I'm sure you found in some situations that people were hesitant to start a business that may do well simply because they didn't know how to navigate the book side of it.
Right.
And that would be unfortunate.
Well, it's kind of a tricky two-step, if you will, because we certainly have the regulations that we have to deal with from banking and generally accepted accounting principles, if you will, that we have that side of things. And then we have the tax regulations, and we have to try to marry all that together so that as we grow your business, we're adhering to all the regulations, but we're also paying the least amount of tax.
Yeah.
Boy, and you mentioned financial planning. I think about the money that's passing from baby boomers to the next generation right now. And without guidance, how much of that money could be lost or taxed unnecessarily, how much a CPA could help. So how do I get the most value I can from my, if I hire a CPA, I want to get the most value I can from my CPA.
I think one of the best things you can do is just be prepared to tell them everything. Tell them, you know, this is what I've got going on now. These are some areas I need help in. These are some future goals that I have. This is what I'd like to be able to do, whether it's succession planning for a business or helping to turn wealth down to the next generation. Sometimes we have tax issues. You know, we have the proverbial audit, or my kids are starting to go away from home. What does that mean? I've got to start college planning. There, anything and everything, just put it on the table.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I've learned is there's never a better time to do it than now. And the longer you wait, the more complicated it might get for you, too.
Right.
All right. So get the most out of your income tax preparation when you hire a CPA. Go to uacpa.org to find a CPA that's right for you.
Susan, it's always good to talk to you.
Oh, thank you.
Good luck with your tax season.
Thanks.
Years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.